Good morning. Thank you. Go while you're ahead. Do I need these? Probably. Good morning. I'm sort of flumbering. Is that a word? I'm flumbering. It's a new word here because while we were worshiping, God was just exciting me so much. And you know, He is an amazing God. He saved me. Saved you. He's amazing, and we should get excited. Unfortunately, my whole neck, larynx, whatever it is, system can't whoop. I've tried it. It sounds really, really bad. So I'm going for boogaloo. Yeah. I don't know why, but there you go. '80s, Tim, '80s. So, I want to do a quick survey. I had an idea of what I was going to do today, and then I made the ridiculous mistake of praying and seeing what God thought about it. And on Saturday morning, with hours and hours and hours of time to prep, He said, talk about delight. 3 hours later, I'd read every Google definition of delight. I still didn't know what on earth it meant, and I still didn't know where it's going. And you may feel at the end of this, I still have no idea where it's going. We'll see. But I wanted to ask you what you think delight means. And seeing as we're all brave, whoopy type of people, someone's going to shout out what for them is a delight. Well, that kind of ruined the next half hour. Thank you. Yeah, Turkish. I had a fiver that some simple-minded person would say Turkish. Thank you, wife. Let's have a look at what other people think. If this is going to... Okay, yeah, we've done that. This is going well. Someone pray for the clicker. There we go. So, ignore all the detail. I'm just proving I actually looked it up. In bold is what I'm interested in. So the definition there is, delight is a more permanent pleasure than joy, and not dependent on sudden excitement. So Turkish delight is almost definitely out in our definition. I was intrigued by that. If I'm honest, that's not how I would have defined it. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Taking delight, as we've just seen, is a running background, a contentment. It's not a sudden hurrah. You see, I can do hurrah, but I can't do whoop at the Lord. It's there. It's a constant. Of course, there are spiritual moments, and I'm sure we've all had them, where God just thrills us beyond ourselves in a moment, in an instant. But that's not what I'm talking about today. The psalmist here and elsewhere in the Bible are speaking to relationship. It means that our heart, our spirit, truly finds peace and fulfillment in Jesus. If we truly find satisfaction and worth in Jesus, then what this is saying is He will give us the longings of our hearts. What does that mean, though? Does that mean that because we're here on Sunday, tomorrow a Rolls Royce is going to be delivered? Does the lottery ticket come up? Are we going to have the perfect job? I did put perfect wife here, but I don't think that's appropriate. The ideal home. Whatever it is, the Turkish delight mountain. No, that's not what he's talking about. The idea, the message behind this verse and others like it is that when we truly delight in the eternal things of God, our desires will be parallel to His, and we will never go unfulfilled. What, though, are the eternal things of God? Don't try that on Google. That is a long search. So I decided to go with my own view. I would say the Bible tells us that the chief one is love. If we delight in love, we align with God, or what we call His will. faith, kindness, acceptance, truth, justice. These are the outcomes of God-style love. And when we align with God's way here, I truly believe we unleash such power that it changes us and the world forever. Then our truest desires are really met. The remarkable thing is, aligning with God should be, in my mind, awkward. It sounds to us like we're going to lose something. There's a sacrifice going on here. It sounds a little dull. It sounds a little hard. And at one level, we do give up some things that hold us back. But the amazing truth is, aligning with God is just like getting into a slipstream. And I'm in real danger here because I don't ride a bicycle. But here we go. Cyclists out there, chaps and ladies, you know the truth. When you get behind another cyclist into their slipstream, it's easier. You pedal softer. I've just looked at Lily, but I can't tell the story. Sorry, Lily. As with all things of God, as it at first seems really counterintuitive. But that's just because we've grown up in a broken world. What we know is wrong. Our reference points are all out of kilter. The reality is, though, aligning with God is more natural than it is not. When we do delight in Him, our existence just gets better, easier, and more joyful. We pedal a lot softer. You allowed to throw it? No. Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, the necessities of life, will be given to you as well," in Matthew. You know, this is serious self-help. It's not a demand. Jesus is giving us a massive steer here, not dictating to us. But hang on a minute. What about just doing it our own way? You know, it's all about me. On Alpha, we have a video clip where people are asked in the street randomly, or I'm just innocent and they're not randomly chosen, they're actors, I don't know, who they depend on for advice. All of them say, me. And some of them say, Google. I have a real problem with me. I really know I don't know everything, but I'm relying on me for advice. No, I don't want alternative views, I don't want experience, it's just about me. I'm gonna stop ranting now. But we have an example from history and scripture of a man who tried it. He knew God, but he sought delight elsewhere in earthly solutions. He sought them wherever he could. He sought and got wealth, power, possessions, pleasures, lots of partners, and in bucket loads, he had everything. King Solomon decided, after all that great time, everything is meaningless. King Solomon was gifted with wisdom. And after all the years of partying, that was his viewpoint. Most people today still believe that works. Wealth, status, possessions, their intellect, their position, their good looks, filling their lives with distractions and other temporary things of the world. A lot of people just worship themselves now. But hold on, if that's all working, why is no one satisfied? You see, they never truly get what they want, hence the reason there is always a need for more. On the other hand, delighting that permanent background existence we've just defined earlier with Jesus, I really, truly believe offers lifelong and eternal contentment. In John, we have this: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Ouch. "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." I think we're going to labor this point just for a little bit longer. Why do the author of the Bible keep pointing this direction? John here can sound judgmental. It can. But I think that's really missing the core message and the point, and just letting ourselves have a pity party. There is so much more to this passage than that, and I can't touch it in this few minutes. But I think John and all the others are screaming at us that there is a better way, there is a fantastic life, but you're accepting mediocrity. you're looking the wrong way. You can have joy and delight running through your life like streams of living water. The scripture keeps on at it. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from them within them. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There might be a reason that the first followers of Jesus were called the Way. They had discovered the message that had been at the heart of the Bible from the moment it all went wrong. When we looked the other way, sought our own way, lost our way. Can't read my writing. The original natural state we should be in is that way, before all that. But absent it, we are ever searching for a distraction, something to fill the hole, something to plug the pain. But if we choose to delight in God's way, he's made us a promise. He will always provide above and beyond what we could ever expect. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Time for me to, as Steve would put it, land it. I think that's a technical stand at the front term now. I don't know what it means. Let me try and explain why I'm hanging around delight. As I said, most of the blame lies with the Holy Spirit, who gave me this topic. Now, it was about 6 a.m. when it came to me, so if any of you are doubting Thomas's out there, I was tired, I was extremely miserable, and I wasn't imaginative. This did not come from me. Delight was not on my lips. The last few weeks we've looked at flourishing. We've also read the great book, The Me I Want to Be by John Ortberg. No tests if you finished it yet. I think John's got the title a bit off. I think it could have been The Me I Don't Know I Am or Could Be. Or it could have been the Me God Wants Me to Be. Not sure about the I bit in it. But it is a wonderful book. And if you work with it and through it, and I encourage you to do so, you begin the journey to a more authentic you, just as God always intended for you, hopefully and almost certainly with the baggage slowly gone. The problem for me is the title sounds a lot like a destination to my modern ears. I don't think for a moment that's right, and I don't think the book intends it. We don't arrive, we tend to evolve. So, my topic. As we let God evolve us into the new creation, or perhaps the original blueprint, as Steve said last week or the week before, this passage, I think, comes alive. We will delight in the Lord as naturally as breathing. And in doing so, he can give you the desires of your heart because they're his desires too. The trifles of this world that try to satisfy will be just that, trifles. And obviously not the really nice ones you get on a Sunday from your auntie. Their power thwarted. Our desires and God's in parallel will be the engine room for our walk through life as a disciple of Jesus. We will slipstream more than strive, and that will become our calling card, what people remember of us all, or attribute to us. And those earthly things which we all enjoy will become nothing more than dalliances, distractions. Our delight will be so naturally with him, it won't be forced, it won't be contrived, we'll just wake up like it. There's something to pray for. So, we're going to pray shortly, I hope. Wendy's going to come up, but I just hope something in that speaks to you. Walk the walk, get in the slipstream with the Lord. Let him evolve you into all you were meant to be. And then all that stuff you think you need, that I think I need, you don't need. Amen.